You take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 53. First Kings 1, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 53, the entire chapter. Now hear now the word of the living God. Now King David was old, advanced in age, and they covered him with clothes, but he could not keep warm. So his servant said to him, "Let them seek a young virgin for my lord the king, and let her attend the king and become his nurse, and let her lie in your bosom that my lord the king may keep warm." So they searched for a beautiful girl throughout all the territory of Israel and found Abishag the Shunammite and brought her to the king. The girl was very beautiful, and she became the king's nurse and served him, but the king did not cohabit with her. Now Adonijah the son of Haggith exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." So he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen with 50 men to run before him. His father had never crossed him at any time by asking, "Why have you done so?" And he was also very handsome, a very handsome man, and he was born after Absalom. He had conferred with Joab the son of Zeruiah and with Abiathar the priest, and following Adonijah, they helped him. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatlings by the stone of Zoheleth, which is beside En-Rogel. And he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the mighty man, and Solomon his brother. Then Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, "Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David, our Lord, does not know it? So now come, please let me give you counsel and save your life and the life of your son Solomon. Go at once to King David and say to him, 'Have you not, my lord, O king, sworn to your maidservant, saying, surely Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? Behold, while you are still there speaking with the king, I will come in after you and confirm your words.' So Bathsheba went into the king in the bedroom. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was ministering to the king. And Bathsheba bowed and prostrated herself before the king, and the king said, 'What do you wish?' She said to him, 'My lord, you swore to your maidservant by the Lord your God, saying, surely your son Solomon shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne. Now behold, Adonijah is king, and now, my lord the king, you do not know it. He has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and he has invited all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army. But he has not invited Solomon your servant. As for you now, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it will come about, as soon as my lord the king sleeps with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon will be considered offenders.' Behold, while she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet came in. They told the king, saying, 'Here is Nathan the prophet.' And when he came in before the king, he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. Then Nathan said, 'My lord the king, have you said, Adonijah shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they are eating and drinking before him, and they say, "Long live King Adonijah!" But me, even me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, he has not invited. Has this thing been done by my lord the king? And you have not shown to your servants who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?" And King David said, "Call Bathsheba to me." And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. The king vowed and said, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress, surely as I vowed to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, 'Your son Solomon Solomon shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. I will indeed do so this day. And Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and prostrated herself before the king and said, "May my lord King David live forever." Then King David said, "Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." And they came into the king's presence. The king said to them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and have my son Solomon ride on my own mule and bring him down to Gihon. Let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there as king over Israel, and blow the trumpet and say, 'Long live King Solomon.' Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne and be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah." Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, "Amen. Thus may the Lord, the God of my lord the king, say, 'As the Lord has been with my lord the king, so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David.'" So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on the King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Zadok the priest then took the horn of oil and from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." All the people went up after him, and the people were playing on flutes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth shook at their noise. Now Adonijah and all of the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating. When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, "Why is the city making such an uproar?" While he was still speaking, behold, Jonathan the son of Abiathar the priest came. And Adonijah said, "Come in, for you are a valiant man, and bring good news." But Jonathan replied to Adonijah, "No, our lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has also sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have made him ride on the king's mule. Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they have come up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise which you have heard. Besides, Solomon has even taken his seat on the throne of the kingdom. Moreover, the king's servants came to bless our lord King David, saying, 'May your God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and his throne greater than your throne.'" And the king bowed himself on the bed. The king has also said thus, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted one to sit on my throne today while my own eyes see it." Then all the guests of Adonijah were terrified, and they arose, and each went on his way. And Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, and he arose, went, and took hold of the horns of the altar. Now it was told Solomon, saying, "Behold, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon, for behold, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, 'Let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword.' Solomon said, 'If he is a worthy man, not one of his hairs will fall to the ground, but if wickedness is found in him, he will die.' So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and prostrated himself before King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, 'Go to your house.'" Now that is the word of our Lord. And as we begin the book of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, it's all one book in the original. You must know that what we have here is not all the details of the kings that follow after David. For here, in just these two, what we would consider two books, and yet it's one book, it's 400 years of history. And so most of the details have been left out, and we have been left here with the important stuff, or at least the facts that we need to know as God's people, to call us from, as God calls us here, to repentance and leads us to Himself, to the true King, Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, chapter 1, we see the main theme is that Yahweh maintains His kingdom. He upholds His kingdom, even though there are perilous moments. In verses 1 through 10, we see the peril that threatens the kingdom. David is old, is passing away. Adonijah is everything David is not. He is this vigorous, would-be king. He has ambition and style and image and position and support. So we see that all in this passage. But as we've seen before, Like this description, this is comparable. The description of him is comparable to Saul or Eliab or Absalom. Even here, it even said of him in verse 6, and it brings up the name of Absalom, which should bring to our memories not good thoughts, but negative thoughts. All here were physically impressive. Saul, Eliab, Absalom, and Adonijah, they're all physically impressive, great to the eyes of man. And for Saul, Eliab, and Absalom, they were either disastrous or rejected. And it's the same for Adonijah. But we learn that there are times in which God's earthly kingdom God's kingdom passes through perilous times. We've seen it since the beginning, after the death of Joseph, and after the death of Moses, after the death of Joshua. The same thing happens, and David here is nearing death. And this transition will show a slight time of peril in God's kingdom. As a church, we too are often faced times of crisis and peril with moral corruption or ethical relativism or global upheaval or whatever it is. There's many things that come. But nothing can overcome the church. We know that. Jesus Christ tells us that. And that's what we learn here in the book of Kings. There is a hand that steadies the church. There's a hand that steadies the kingdom. And it is God. The kingdom also can suffer from unqualified leadership. Here is a man who is saying of himself, "I will be king." And lust for power and position are not marks of for leadership amongst God's people. And yet that's what he has here. He's lusting for power and position. And for the church, the qualifications of elder and deacon stress, we look there in Timothy and Titus, they don't stress giftedness, they stress godliness. And so the perils of the kingdom. And then verses 11 through 27, the servants who love the kingdom. Here's Nathan and Bathsheba. We see Nathan's speech to Bathsheba, Bathsheba's speech to David, Nathan's speech to David. And those three speeches, and their loyalty is to the true king. David is the true king. He's the one who's still serving as king, and they want to aid him and serve him. And so here are two witnesses to Adonijah's coup in progress. And sometime previously, we don't know when, David had promised Bathsheba that Solomon would be king. But David has yet to take official action of that. He has not made Solomon king yet. And while there was waiting, Adonijah had decided to make a move because he wants power. He makes a move, and it boils down to really one servant here, Nathan. If Nathan had done nothing, Adonijah would have become king. And Solomon would have been put to death, just like Bathsheba indicates in verse 21. They would have been considered offenders, and they would have been put to death. And so Nathan here speaks, and his speaking brings about the right king. And sometimes we think someone else will take care of it. Someone else can serve, but it must be us who long to serve in any capacity that we can. When there's no one serving in a particular place in the church, then we ought to serve. Beloved, your service in Christ's kingdom has a real dignity about it. And one that you can never tell how crucial one service is until, perhaps later. But if you don't serve, it may just be that no one serves. And so keep that in mind when you have opportunities or right before you to say, "Well, I could go and serve the Lord or wait for someone else to serve." In verses 28 to 40, we see the zeal that preserves the kingdom. David, at the beginning of the chapter, kind of looks like he doesn't have any zeal. He's in bed. He's, in some sense, bedridden. He can't keep warm. He really isn't ruling and acting as king anymore, it doesn't seem. And yet, after he hears this news about what's happening, there's this zeal that overtakes him, and he's trying to put all of his affairs in order, and the kingdom was at stake. If he did nothing, he knew the kingdom was at stake. And so he did what he was called to do, and that was rule. And so God's hand seems invisible here, And yet here's a man that God's working through to bring about exactly what is supposed to happen in His kingdom. God is working through man, through David, with great zeal, like we ought to be worked through with great zeal to serve His kingdom. And finally, verses 41 to 53, the submission that marks the kingdom. It is made known that Solomon is made king, and Adonijah's men scurry away in fear, and Adonijah is afraid himself, and yet humbled as he was brought before Solomon. He submits to Solomon. And yet what we have here is a formal, external submission. And we'll see in the next passage that there was no internal submission. He did not want to submit. He did not have this heart of submission to his king. Beloved, there has to be a heart submission to the King of Kings. Not just as we're here about in John this evening and thinking about Brandon's public profession of faith. There's not just a church, formal church membership that is important. There's not an external submission to Christ in that regard. For if it's just external, your life is in danger of eternal destruction. It has to be an internal submission to the Savior, not just external. Now let us pray. Our Father, we come before You this evening, humbled at the sight of Your servants who served Your kingdom, who knew that it was their place as You have called them to serve You. And You put them to work and You caused them to serve for the good of Your kingdom, saving the kingdom here from a ruler who was lusting after power and yet who was not to be king. Lord, cause us to be servants in Your kingdom. Cause us to be willing servants, ready and with zealous, with zeal and passion and love and joy to serve Your people, to help wherever we can, wherever You have enabled us to do so. Lord, give us a heart to serve, not only people within the church, but even those outside the church, outside who need the gospel. Cause us to proclaim the gospel wherever we go. Or give us boldness to do so, knowing that You're the one who sends Your Spirit and You're the one who saves Your people. And Father, here we ask that You would cause us to have submissive hearts. Submissive hearts that outwork to external submission. Just as we know that out of the heart the mouth speaks, we pray that out of the heart would come submission to those in authority over us, but also especially with submissive hearts to You, the Lord God Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we seek Your help in all these things. And we ask that You would watch over us and keep us. Here we see there's much peril, and there will be peril for us in the church in the future and maybe today. We ask that You would cause us to be faithful as You are faithful and true. Cause us to be founded on the gospel and on the foundation of the word of the apostles and the prophets. And cause us to be confident in You who preserve. You're the one who preserves this kingdom, Your church. Not even the gates of Hades can overcome it. And so we praise You in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.